Chapter 11. "Tell me if it's uncomfortable," Tim asked as he taped the wire to her bare skin below her breasts. Her short-sleeved blouse was unbuttoned, the whiteness of it matching the crispness of her lacy bra. She closed her eyes momentarily, recalling his gentle touch, the warmth of his fingers, and enjoying the sensations he put through her, thankful they were alone within a cubicle, partitioned off from prying eyes and ears. "It's fine." "It's not fine," he said. He wasn't talking about the discomfort, and well she knew it. "Not at all." "It was my idea, Tim. I can do this." All he wanted to do was hold her and protect her. Instead, he was sending her out to her possible death because he hadn't caught the murderer yet. His heart beat so fast she could feel it rising in her throat. The last thing she wanted to do was throw up, and that would really go down well. Confidence, that was what she needed to show, prove to Tim she really was up to the job. She looked down at him, on his one knee as he applied more tape, and stroked his head. "I'll be fine, you know." "Yeah," he swallowed. "I intend to make sure of that myself." "I will. I have you." Tim stood, faced her and nodded. "Yes, you do. Listen, if you want to change your mind at all you have to do is say the word. I'm not happy about this anyway." "It has to be done, Tim, and I'm the one to do it." "This isn't just about your profile as an author, is it? Because if it is, there are other ways. Other ways less dangerous." Jane smiled. "I know you're worried. In a way, so am I, but look on the bright side. It could all be over very soon." "That's what I'm afraid of." He ran his finger over the tape again, ensuring its adhesion, and fastened her blouse for her, button by button, as she watched. "I think I love you, Jane," he told her softly. Her gentle smile began to quiver. She couldn't lose it now, not with the amount of emotion running high in the small space they occupied. "Bow out now. Nobody will hate you for it." "Tim, knowing you'll be on the other end of this wire means you'll be with me the whole way. I'm relying on that alone, okay?" He sighed and nodded reluctantly. "I won't let you down." "I know you won't. I don't think it's in you to even think it." He pulled her close, held her for all he was worth, and released her when there was a knock on the partition door. Captain Redfern stepped forward. "You ready?" "Absolutely," Jane smiled, taking the deepest of breath she'd ever taken. He gestured to Tim, who now wore earphones, and tipped his head. "It's all working?" "All systems go," Tim replied. "Well," Redfern stroked her arm and smiled. "Just stick to the plan and everything will go okay. You got it?" "Yes." Just before she left the truck, she turned in Tim's direction and smiled. His heart fell to his stomach. He wanted to be sick, or worse, die. As soon as she was out of his sight, he focused on the equipment and listened to her breathing. "Can you hear me?" she whispered, walking towards the hubbub of Quincy Market, suddenly nervous, suddenly feeling sick. "Loud and clear," Tim assured her. "What do you see?" "Nothing yet. Bright lights, mainly. Quincy Market, people out for the night." "See anyone acting suspiciously?" "No, nobody." She went on walking through the market. The music and chatter from people made her aware of the microphone. "It's loud here. Can you still hear me?" "I can hear everything. I'm right here with you, Jane, and I'm going nowhere." Tim could hear the crowds, her breathing, and the odd close-up conversation. Suddenly, he heard some kind of commotion. Oh my goodness!" "What is it?" Tim was confused as she began to laugh. "What happened?" "I didn't realise it was you. I'm so sorry." A man laughed too. He sounded familiar. Was it Jerry? "If you're going to bump into someone, I always say might as well make it a best-selling author." "I'll get another one for you, of course. Who is it, Jane? Who are you talking to?" Tim's voice grew irate. Jane laughed again. "Honestly, I can't believe I walked straight into you. Your coffee's gone everywhere. You'll drop me as your client, Jerry." "To her agent?" Dal mouthed. Tim nodded. It was time. "You want to go and get a fresh one with me?" Jerry asked. "You do owe me, after all." "No, don't go with him," Tim told her. "Make an excuse." "Sorry, maybe another time?" She didn't mention the call. Keeping him sweet seemed a much better option. But keeping him sweet could become too obvious. She wasn't usually this nice to him. "You're ditching me again?" he said. "How many times is a man supposed to take this kind of treatment? A guy can take it personally, you know." "Tell him you're late for a date with me," Tim thought quickly. "Tell him I get crazy if you're late." "I'm meeting my boyfriend." The words flew off her tongue as easily as honey off a hot spoon. "Got you under his thumb, eh?" Jerry noted. "That bloody cop, isn't it? You need to rethink your choice of boyfriends, Jane. That guy's no good for you." Oh, I don't know. I think he's very good for me. He's unlike anyone I've ever met before. Sim could hear her smiling as she spoke. In fact, I cannot imagine life without him now. Sounds serious. Better take you for that coffee anyway. You know, there's congratulations. Did he propose yet? I mean, it must be a whole week by now you've known him, isn't it? Jerry, she giggled, hoping he'd fall for it. You sound jealous. Tim tried to detach himself from the conversation, being aware the rest of the team could hear everything. Proposing? Dale mouthed. Tim put his hand over the mouthpiece. Shut up. I've only just met him, Jane explained. I would hardly expect a man to propose after just a week. Well, if he's as besotted with you as you are with him, he'd better sweep you away soon in case someone else takes the opportunity while he's not looking. I'm still hoping I'm in with a chance. Jerry, she said as people bustled by. You were never interested in me. You've always been more in love with yourself than anyone else. Thankfully, he laughed as if he'd been called out. She gave him a tight smile. I'd love to carry on chatting with you, but I really do have to get going. Oh, yeah, to meet your boyfriend, that's right. Hey, why don't I come along? We got on pretty well before. Jane was speechless. She recalled the night in her apartment, and it wasn't a pretty sight. I don't think so. She tried to gently move past him, but he wasn't having any of it. He grabbed her hand and pulled her back playfully. Please, I have to go. Ask him about Mantra again. Find out who ran it, Tim said. She stopped pulling and feigned laughter. Since you are here, there is one thing I wanted to know. Who ran Mantra? What? That again? We both did. Why is it so important now? Both of you? You and Carl owned it? Yeah, but Carl took on losers, and before you give me that look, it wasn't down to me, love. I'm only interested in the successful ones. Despite what you might think, my brother's the idiot, not me. She found that hard to believe. That's why when he won that stupid Best Agent award, the whole world had to know about it, he said dramatically. Not a word about me all through it. There was no thank you, Jerry, for your support. Just a load of bull about starting again under a different name. He won that after you signed me. And I don't think we ever looked back, he said with a slimy smile. Why didn't you tell me this before? Why would we? It's past history. Listen, why don't we discuss this over dinner? Hey, better yet, ditch your boyfriend and marry me. Right now. We could fly to Vegas tonight. Before you know it, you'll be wearing my ring and sharing my bed. I really don't think that's a good idea. Dale, get out there and do something, Tim ordered. Do what? I don't know. Push into him, cause a scene, phone her, anything. Dale flew out of the truck and into the crowds. By a stroke of luck, he saw a woman sitting at a table with a copy of A Time, a Place in front of her. Ma'am, do you mind if I borrow this for a moment? Dale asked the startled woman. I think I just saw the author. I'll get it signed for you. He grabbed the book and ran into the market, moving through the growing dinner time crowds as if his life depended on it. And in many ways it did. Miss Murray? Dale acted like a lovesick fan. It is you, isn't it? My wife loves your novels, and I wondered if you'd sign this for her. Jerry stood by while she took Dale's book, surprised to see him, and gave him an Is everything okay? Look. What's your wife's name? She smiled politely, keeping up the pretense. Dale passed the pen to her and deliberately dropped it. He looked sheepish and bent down to retrieve it. Hey, look, Jerry, why don't I meet up with you another time? Got your hands full with another fan, eh? Hazard of the job, she smiled. And I think I have you to thank for that. Dale stood up with the pen in his hand. The name? Jane prompted. Dale, suddenly unable to think of a woman's name, laughed awkwardly. You don't know your own wife's name? Jerry asked. Or maybe the book's for you. I'm just a little in awe of Miss Murray here. I've been reading her books forever, Dale lied. I love the one about the crime that guy did and the thing that happened afterwards. Yeah, Jerry said. It sounds as if you've given her books a great deal of your time. Well, Jane, I have to agree. I think maybe we should reschedule that coffee. I'll call you later. Tell that boyfriend of yours to keep an eye on you. He eyed Dale. There's a lot of crazies out there. I will. They watched Jerry walk away into the crowd. Right, so do you really want this signed? Dale nodded. By the way, where did you steal it from? I'm guessing you didn't actually go into a bookstore and get it just for this very occasion. Took it right off some woman's table back there. She's totally expecting me to bring it back signed. She may even think I just mugged her. Yeah, looking at you, I would too. And of all those women you've been out with in the past, you couldn't think of a single one of their names? Dale laughed. Just sign the damn book.